Good afternoon, everyone. Sorry for the delay in beginning. I'd like to start, I'll start with public comment. John Walsh. Is he here? No, Mr. Walsh. Okay, he's not available. Okay. Then we will start with, then we will start with item number 44, the capital management report.
Good afternoon, Chair and the members of the committee. We have brief presentations on the east side, on 405, Expo 1 and 2, and also on the Orange Line. Mr. Dennis Morey will do the presentation on the east side.
Okay, good afternoon. Well, it's been about 2 months since we opened the Eastside project in November, and we didn't have a committee meeting in between, so I'm just going to give you an update on some of the remaining major activities on the project. One of the things that we've been reporting on over the past year, and this is in response to the board action last year in at the December meeting, is to report on the implementation of the rail safety enhancements and specifically the pedestrian barrier fencing. So this is the rendering that I've shown you in the past, and this is a computer-generated rendering showing what the 4-foot-high steel picket fencing will look like that will be installed between the trackway along approximately 2 miles of the at-grade portion of the alignment. And so since my last report, we have begun the installation of the 4-foot-high steel picket fence, and what that involves is really drilling the post holes, because those posts are approximately 8 feet on center. So we have completed drilling the holes between 3rd and Woods, that's on the east side of the alignment, all the way up to 3rd and Dittman near Ramona High School. And I'll show you in the next photograph. So that just shows you we have to do the work at night after the operating hours, so we have about a 2-hour window each night. But in parallel with that, we have our contractor fabricating the steel picket fencing and painting it. So the post panels and posts are being fabricated. The construction workers are out there drilling the holes, and they've actually started mounting some of the anchor bolts and the base plates. So we expect that the rain will end by the end of this week, and our contractor will be out there again on the western side of the alignment from the approximately the First Street Bridge going out towards past Mendez Learning Center and towards along First Street close to Lorena and Indiana. So that will be the next portion of the holes that we drilled, and then we'll be putting up steel picket fencing during the nighttime hours in the 2-hour window. We've also worked with Metro Operations, and they're going to try to look at the contractor's schedule to see if they are able to allow the contractor to work out there. And, of course, we'll have flagmen, and rail operations will provide track allocation to allow us to work safely so we don't interrupt the trains at the nighttime. Also like to report on the memorial wall, and this is the reinterment site dedication ceremony. Now, this was scheduled for tomorrow, and earlier this week, because of the rain forecast, it was decided that we needed to postpone the event. This is a site plan, though, and we are going to have the event, the ceremony, once we are able to contact the community and elected officials to get their schedules so that we can schedule a date in the next couple of months, because I think it takes about a month's time to notify everybody and to make sure that everybody is in attendance. But this is a site plan, and just for illustration purposes, the memorial wall shown at the top of the photograph, this aerial site plan photograph, and it's right next to the Chinese Memorial Shrine. The thing that's unique about this process is that this is a reinterment ceremony for the human remains and artifacts that were discovered in August of 2005 when we were widening the street where we put in our portal, our tunnel portal, and that was along the existing sidewalk in front of the LA County Crematorium. So in the process of widening the street and removing the sidewalk, we found an ancient graveyard site, which is over 100 years old. And so through a community process that took 3 years, we involved the community in the decisions to select the reinterment site, to design the wall, to design a lot of the elements, and to work with Metro and our community relations staff to ensure that we come up with a historic monument and also a memorial site that is in a ceremony that is dignified and in its respectful of the events of the past. So with that, here's a photograph of the completed wall, and it would have been unveiled yesterday. The community's been out there, by the way, because it is in Evergreen Cemetery where we purchased property. So the community has been out there. The ad hoc subcommittee, which is a subcommittee of the community review advisory committee, members have been out there, and they looked at the construction as the wall was being constructed. So they are very pleased with their work because they helped us to design it. And it was designed by a local architect and constructed by our contractor. So that's a view of what the memorial wall looks like. I'd also like to report on the Pomona Atlantic parking structure. Now, in the full funding grant agreement, in the original scope, we would have had, at the time that we opened, a surface parking lot for 127 parking spaces at our station terminus of Pomona Atlantic. However, in March of 2005, the Metro Board of Directors approved additional funding for this parking structure. So instead of 127 surface parking spaces, when the parking structure is completed, which will be in about March of this year, we will have 280 parking spaces. This is done design build. It's on time within budget. We've also got a lot of help from the county because even though it's design build, Supervisor Molina's office arranged meetings with County Public Works staff and Planning Department, a red team, to expedite the design approvals so that it's being designed in accordance with all the planning regulations and codes in the area. So that's a photograph showing what the structure looks like today. And again, we plan to have it completed in March of this year. And that ends my presentation. Are there any questions?
None.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay. The next one is the I-405 Sepulveda Pass project. This is the 10-mile-long northbound widening additional lane that we are going to place between I-10 and 101. Next one. This contract has been awarded, and we are working within the currently available funds, which is the $372 million, and subject to additional funding by the state, we will be having a full-blown project moving along. Next one. We have over 250 staffers out there working in the field office, also working at the field. The schedule here that shows we will be completing this project on time, December of 2013, as we have agreed to. Next one. This is the funding scenario for the project coming from the various sources, TCRP funds and the state funds, the federal and also the Prop C funds. All of them amounts to closer to $1.034 billion. Next one. The field work that's currently ongoing is pretty much pothole work is all done. We are currently working on the drainage structures with a CCTV camera. They are going through the drainage structures to make sure there are no blockages and there are no damages to the structure. That work is undergoing. We are also working on the Avis. This is the system for tracking the weather and reporting to a central system that's being installed. And we are started the restriping on the northbound. Unfortunately, the rain in the past week has delayed the whole program, but we will be resuming it next week and start restriping the northbound first and then the southbound. We are also going to socket the profile and then get the ground ready for the additional expansion, both on the northbound and the southbound. We are going to replace the K-rail in the middle of the median. When once we move the restriping is done, the design is going full speed. We have approved their schedule also as of this morning, and we have staff from Caltrans and DOT over in the field office overlooking the over-shoulder design reviews. Next one. Community activities, we have been discussing with 23 homeowners in Westwood, in the Sepulveda area. We have some issues there that we are trying to resolve between the city and the homeowners. The homeowners apparently wants to have the city property and expand their backyard, which seems to be a difficult one to agree to, but we are in negotiations with the homeowners on that issue. We are also working with several other community in order to get this project moving in full speed. Our community relations have been pretty active in meeting with all the local jurisdictions and also with the homeowners, advising them of all our activities. Next one. We are also using the medium to let them know what activities we are performing, and it's being well coordinated with the Caltrans. Next one. We are working with the city on the master cooperative agreement. Of course, because of the city's furloughs and our desire to get things done in a faster way, we need to work out some details. And Director Rita Robinson has been very helpful in arranging meetings and trying to get that project moving. We are also working on the reversible lane project in coordination with the city of LA. Next one. And there are some issues. The major issue is, the Westwood Hills homeowners and trying to resolve that and the neighborhood. And the other big one is the MWD 96-inch water line. We would like to leave it in place. The MWD prefers to relocate it, but we have come up with some solutions to leave it in place. We are trying to resolve that. Hopefully in this next month, we should have some decision on that. Next one. GSA, while we are trying to redo the ramps at Wilshire, and that whole property is owned by GSA, and they are very sensitive to any activity that we are performing in that area. So we need all permissions and clearances to get into their property. But we are trying to find a way to expedite that. So that's going on. And the county of LA has a 12-by-12 drainage structure. We have developed various options how to protect that structure in place while we are doing all the major construction. Next one. And that concludes my 405. We'll be happy to answer any questions.
Questions continue.
Okay. Exposition, we have Mr. Joel Sandberg, who is going to do the expo line.
Good afternoon. The expo project is moving along on phase one. The major issues with the phase one of the expo project are schedule and budget. This slide shows the schedule issues. The contractor's latest schedule shows a 47-week project delay. We are currently awaiting a revised schedule from the contractor to find out what of that delay he's going to be able to recover. Although there are numerous areas of work that are behind schedule, the critical activities are the bridge over the 110 freeway, the Flower Street Bridge that had to be half of it had to be reconstructed. That work is moved along well recently and should be completed in April, so that the uncertainty there will be eliminated. The La Cienega Bridge is another one that's behind schedule. That's one of the key activities. And then the Biona Creek Bridge, where we are building a rail bridge over the existing railroad bridge that is a historical bridge that has to be left in place. The contractor, unfortunately, in December, the contractor canceled a disputes review board resolution board that was scheduled to address the dispute over the responsibility for the delay. So we were not able to make the progress we'd hoped in resolving responsibility for the existing delay. There are also a number of other activities that could result in further delay and represent a risk to the schedule at this time. One of the most critical of and biggest potential delay is the changes to the Farmdale Avenue, because that's still under consideration for the grade crossing approval by the CPUC. The Blue Line tie-in continues to have some risk because of the amount of rail rehab and repair that's necessary to complete that. Venice-Robertson aerial structure was added late to the project, and we are in the process of bidding that out, so that is a schedule risk at this time. And then finally, the S&I facility, which has been downscoped to a storage facility, and the design is still in progress. With regard to the budget, the awarded construction packages are currently within budget. However, there are significant risks that exist to the budget. The project delays, of course, have a cost associated with them, so until responsibility of that is resolved, that represents a significant delay. As I said, the Venice-Robertson aerial station added late to the project also represents a potential cost risk because we do not have a firm cost. It's still in the process of being bid. Fauchet safety enhancements, we are still in discussions with LA Unified and the administration at Fauchet on those enhancements that were required as part of the crossing approval there. Changes at Farmdale also represent potential budget risk. Blue Line tie-in, the storage facility, professional services. The contractor is making a large claim for extended professional services. Third-party issues continue, and then additional changes in project scope always represent a threat. The next slides show some of the current construction to give a picture of where we are at. This slide shows only one 24-foot panel of the canopy that's been installed at Western Station. That installation is complete. The entire full-length canopy has been installed at that station and is being installed at other stations now. This shows some of the rail work that's going on. Considerable progress has been made in the last 2 months in rail installation. Over 50% of the rail is now in place. Concrete placement. This slide shows the concrete placement at the La Brea Bridge structure. This is actually showing the pouring of the bridge across the street itself. And finally, we have a picture showing the construction in progress at the Venice Robertson station with the construction of the piers and columns. The contractors made considerable improvement lately in the local jobs program. Local residents worked a total of 40% of the construction work hours in November, which brings a total work by local workers to 23.4% for the total work hours of the project to date. The contractor is confident that they will meet the 30% goal of construction work hours worked by local residents. Local residents comprised 36.5% of all workers on the project in November. That completes the report on phase one. Phase two, the environmental impact report was completed and sent to appropriate agencies and posted on the website on December 18th for public review. The consideration of the environmental, the FEIR certification is scheduled for the next Expo board meeting on February 4th. The project briefings were continued to be conducted, and those in the last month included the Santa Monica Chamber of Commerce, Crossroads staff, and Santa Monica staff. We also conducted workshops with the CPUC, Metro, City of Los Angeles, City of Santa Monica concerning the draft hazard analysis report required for the approval of the crossings by the CPUC. The design build procurement is well underway. Proposals were received on December 22nd, and the selection of the Stage A engineering teams is on schedule for the March board meeting. That concludes my presentation. If there are any questions, I'll be glad to try to answer.
Any questions?
You know, I have just one at this point. You know, I obviously have some questions going on just given the schedule and the cost, but where are we now with the maintenance facility? Has there been agreement between Metro and Santa Monica for the ultimate facility for Phase 1 and Phase 2?
Maybe Mr. Tharp could answer that.
Yes, we have worked with City of Santa Monica on what we call a hybrid site. So we're going to actually acquire two pieces of property. They're going to exchange some Santa Monica City College property for some property that they have near the airport, and that will allow a buffer between the residential area and the maintenance facility. And so they approved that, I think, 2 months ago at the city council to move forward with that.
Okay, so it's all approved, set to move. Thanks.
Right. Madam Chair. Rick, sorry, isn't there an auxiliary site over off of the current blue line that's part of this as well, or am I getting things mixed up?
Well, the maintenance facility that I just mentioned is part of Phase 2. We do have storage tracks. Originally in Phase 1, the maintenance facility was going to be part of the Blue Line. We couldn't do it down at the Blue Line facility, so we moved it into the downtown area, and that work is currently underway. We'll be primarily just storage facilities with most of the maintenance for Phase 1 being done down at the Blue Line facility until the Phase 2 maintenance yard is up and running, and then everything on the expo will be maintained out of the Phase 2 facility. Well, let me try to answer that. Yes, unfortunately, it requires mutual agreement between the two parties. They made a request to the... No, absolutely not, but... No, we didn't mutually agree to cancel. We were ready. So he submitted.
Well, I'm not familiar with the terms of the expo contract, and I will take a look at that. There may have the members of the disputes review board also, typically, if this is, you know, like similar to an MTA contract, would have to be consulted, and there may be fees that may have had to have been paid to them. But I'll look at the expo contract for that.
Is a way that we're going to correct some of the issues along the way. But I already see that this is not working. If one side can just say, I'm not going to show up.
Well, it's ultimately up to the dispute resolution board whether they cancel. We submitted a letter, said we were ready to go. The contractor said they were not prepared. Yes. Shortly after the contractor submitted their request. I think it was in, we were scheduled in March, so it was around Thanksgiving time. That the contractor wasn't prepared to argue their portion of the dispute. It has now been rescheduled for March. March 8th. Yes.
Again, I don't have the...
The dispute resolution board is made up of three people. I can't recall that. Tom Warren is our representative. Then the contractor has a representative, and then there's a chairman, and I don't have their names at hand.
This is an expo dispute board. I'm not familiar with it.
This is not a hard thing, okay?
I can get you those names. I just don't have the people's names.
I don't know.
What is his name? Joel says it's Carl Bauer. Carl Bauer is what happens is our representative and the contractor's representative get together and pick a third representative. He's a retired construction person that specializes in dispute resolution boards. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. There's a guideline.
I can't respond to a lot of these questions because, you know, we don't represent Expo. I'm not privy to.
Yes, there's guidelines. We have them filed at our office. If you'd like a copy, we can provide that. That's up to the dispute resolution board to make that decision.
Let's say that under the dispute that's resolved before you forward it.
The only one that can cancel it is the dispute resolution board themselves. That's correct. And we agree, and we submitted a request saying no, we want to move forward. No, it was previously. They schedule it every 3 months. They come in every 3 months, no matter what. Yeah, they're independent consultants, and they have to all get together and figure out a date. What they can meet, but basically they meet on a regular quarterly basis. No, from the finish date. The finish date originally in the contract was supposed to be next month. Right now, their schedule that... No, actually, last month we reported 52 weeks, so we've actually picked up some time. Actually, what we're trying... Well, by the progress in the field, what we're trying to do is get the work complete from the Blue Line tie-in out to Crenshaw by December of this year. Now it's going to be very tight to make it by then, but looking at the progress in the field, they're making very good progress in the field. The second portion we're unable to because the PUC still hasn't decided. No, this is the second portion of phase one. So the PUC has... both portions. It's the longest. It's the longest. It's on the full portion. That's correct. That's correct. Well, we are now projecting that the PUC could take action by July. Yes. It depends on what they ultimately decide.
Well, let's say they decide everything you want them to
do. Probably, we're looking at, completion, I think it's, February of 2012 now. For the structure and the completion of the PUC work. Yes, but right now the 47 week delay is with the PUC taken out of it. So. That's correct.
Now you took that. I think you're talking about all one part of the first phase.
Two parts of the first phase.
Okay, because you only recorded on the same part.
Right.
So, do I understand that we canceled phase one 7 weeks?
Yes. Because the con... I said, well, let's see, February 2012, so probably it's looking like 2 years. But the reason is this contractor doesn't have the Culver City aerial structure, which is required. To get all the way to Culver City. Weeks delay to this contract or total weeks delay?
Phase one.
Phase one would be about 24 months, almost 2 years.
I'm sorry?
Almost 2 years, but you have to realize that the project was changed. There was an interim station. We got funding, 1B funding, to add the aerial structure. So it was added very late in the project. Yes. Right.
You can't be told the end date after a change. Okay, what was the end date?
The end date is February 2012.
Right now, there is no, right? You changed it, you said.
Yeah, but we have two different contracts. So there's a delay to this contractor. So there's a delay to the project, but there's delays to contractors. This contractor doesn't...
You know, we're having a good time. Here's some pretty pictures. Look what we're doing. You know, they did all those things where they showed me all the stations with the pretty things up. And then at the end, when it was getting ready, that's when everything started sliding. So I'm not going to allow you to do that. I would like a more comprehensive report. I'd like to know what's wrong here. I like to know why the delays are. I want to know who the changes are, who's making the changes. I want to know when the Expo Board approved it, and if they approved it, that they understand that's a delay. Because this is not, these kinds of presentations, after hearing the East Side, are a way of doing these, I don't know what you call these things. What do you call these things?
PowerPoints. We have a...
say that it's like any one guideline that tell me
well, we do have a closed session after this. So we do have a closed session to talk about some of those things that you just mentioned tonight, today.
You know, and these changes again will pretty good
that's, yeah, I guess you could look at it that way. You could look at it that way. The project was changed, so you then, once the project's changed, you, I agree with you, you change the schedule. No, this was brought to this board because this board funded the project through 1B funding. You're right. It is a whole new schedule, but we have different contractors that are working within it. The new schedule, that's correct. That's correct.
Just as a follow-up, do we have schedules that really kind of show critical path and what the decision points are depending on what these various outcomes are?
Ratifiers. Supposed to bring a letter. That's my understanding.
To answer your question, yes, we have very detailed schedules with critical paths. Associated.
There's some level kind of in the middle of the detail, but in the middle just seeing the published schedule before all the changes that would give us a sense of what some of the risks are and what their realistic opening dates are and the completion dates, I should say.
Yeah.
I mean, there's probably a middle ground here that...
Yeah, we certainly can provide those to you.
Because then I think that gets us closer to having a sense of what the actual time might be rather than sticking with an older schedule that is way out of date.
Any other comments or questions? We have,
okay, can we, I move on?
Very quickly, because we have a closed session and we also have another item.
Yeah. Maybe we can skip this one and I got one next item, which needs the approval.
Right. Yes, yeah, thank okay. you.
The next item is item number 45.
No, I'm sorry. No, let's go back to item number 44. We had two public comments, so let me wrap that up, and then we can move to item number 45.
Yes. Yes.
Arnold Sachs, item number 44.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Arnold Sachs. Among the rail safety enhancement, I heard no mention of the EIR for the pedestrian crossing gates at the school that were talked about at the December board meeting. They need to do an EIR report for the quadrant gates on the east side extension. And then piggybacking on what Supervisor Molina said, phase one, section one of the expo line implies that there's a section two of phase one. Yet when I question about the gold line and the foothill extension, phase one of the state legislature creating the authority was from the from Union Station to the Sierra Madre Villa. Phase two would have been section two, would have been from Sierra Madre Villa to the station to Claremont. Yet now, that area is included in a foothill extension. So you play games, and you don't want to play games, and you play games, and you don't want to play games. Please explain how that change from phase two of section one, section two of phase one, to become a whole different section of a whole different authority. Thank you.
Director Fasano?
Just on a clarification, the SHIF legislation defined the project out to Claremont.
Don Walsh, item number 44.
Thank you for being a watchdog, Ms. Molina. That's why no one was killed when they built it in East L.A. But when they built it through Hollywood and Zev's area, we had four people killed, including Jaime Pasillas, who you put a memorial for. Thank you. I want to tell you right now, if you want all these questions, he was fired here, Thorpe. He's over there at the authority. You want the information, it's all what your questions ask is in what's called the project manager's status report for the Expo line. It's published every month. They have to do it under state law. It is sent every month to Sacramento, to the DOT. Now, you don't get a copy of it, but you can go right upstairs to the library and get a copy of it. Now, they don't have to send one to the federal government because the federal government decided that the project would be better served by buses than rail. It's a state project. Go look it up.
We move to item number 45.
Item number 45 is requesting approval to revive the tunnel advisory panel that we have extensively used in the past. One of the reasons we were able to safely design and build the east side tunnel was we had a very competent and expert tunnel advisory panel who looked at all the facts and gave us advice on things to do. Now that we have many projects that we are undertaking under Measure R and also in the planning stage, which is the regional connector, Crenshaw Line, Subway to Sea, I-710, these are all major underground projects. So we need the help of some expert panel to come here and advise us and review things on an as-needed basis. So we are trying to enter into a contract for next 5 years with these three distinguished gentlemen who are nationally and internationally known experts in tunneling. We are also looking at some new ideas and innovative ways of doing tunnels. So if we do not get them on board, I'm sure the first contract we get out for tunnels, these consultants will be hired by them to be their advisors. So we would like to get them on board and get their advice. So seek approval for Dr. Jeff Martin, who is already on the advisory panel, Dr. Edward Carding, and also Dr. Harvey Parker. If you have any questions, I'll be happy to answer.
Director Fasano. Oh, I thought you had.
Any
questions?
Yeah.
Okay. We have two public comment cards. Mr. Sachs, Arnold Sachs.
Thank you again, Arnold Sachs. According to the background here, 1998, you eliminated the tunneling was for, are they doing tunneling for the subway, doing tunneling for light rail? That's a major question because according to a City Hall document, 1994, the full funding grant agreement was executed with the federal government for a Metro Red Line segment phase number three to the mid-city area. That was adopted in 1994. The Gold Line was adopted in 1995. Preliminary engineering on the Metro Red Line to East L.A. completed. Again, the Red Line. The question is, from 1995 to 2001, were they doing tunneling based on light rail or a subway? It's a totally different. Is it the same kind of tunneling, or is it a totally different way of doing engineering? Thank you.
John Walsh.
Let's use a little common sense. Tunneling is tunneling. The only difference is that a light rail tunnel is much shallower than a heavy rail tunnel. Certainly in L.A., that's the case. Now, as far as these gentlemen have done a very poor job. Just go out to the Hollywood, to the Vermont and Beverly station and smell the hydrogen sulfide. The walls of the station and the rebar in there are continuing to deteriorate. There was a study by the Army Corps of Engineers on the first five stations, and they supported what I've just said. At SOTO, there is right now a slight bit of deterioration in the walls. There is no smell of gas. At the Mariachi Plaza station, it's 100%. It's like night and day, the Mariachi Plaza station, from any of the tunnel stations that were built, on Metrorail, on the Red Line. There's no smell. It was done the right way. Now, Mr. Cording is a good scientist. The other two, I don't know.
Any questions from the board members on this
item?
I'll move
the item.
You have a... we moved the item. Do we have a second? Director Molina. We have a second on moving this item. Okay, that's okay. Okay, so item is. Number 45.
Thank you.
The next item we have is in, I'm sorry, the CEO's report. Do you have a report?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I wanted to just note for you that last week, Secretary of USDOT, Ray LaHood, announced that they're going to be evaluating the New Starts evaluation criteria. In the past, recent past at least, projects had to be rated medium or higher in the cost effectiveness category to be considered. That's going to be revisited. They may add other criteria into the weighting to include things like economic development, air quality, and things of that nature. We have invited them to hold a listening session in Los Angeles, and we certainly will be participating in the rulemaking that will occur in the coming year. That concludes my report.
Thank you very much. Michelle, we didn't have to have item number 16 on this committee. Okay. We're going to go into closed session, but before we do, we have one public comment card from Mr. Walsh on item number 68.
I trust them both, Barbara and I.
One of the reasons that Thorpe got canned over here is that you gave the full amount to a contractor instead of paying him in portions, and then the contractor went out of business. He was a friend of Antonio. I would bring this issue to the Inspector General, but as you know, Ms. Molina, there is no Inspector General. Karen Gorman has been for 2 years the Acting Inspector General, and she is an appointment indirectly of Mr. Nunez, and in fact, she doesn't have the qualifications, and in fact, she's the ethics officer and is paid nothing, zero, to be acting inspector general, whose job it is, as we all know, is to prevent anyone from finding out what Antonio is doing. HollywoodHighlands.org is my website. Read about the mayor's sticky divorce. HollywoodHighlands.org.
I'll adjourn into closed session, and then we'll come back quickly, I hope, to the operations committee. In the essence of time and the fact that there is an impending storm that is troublesome in the community, which many of you have, I'm going to take the chair's ability to move the non-consent items to the consent agenda, items number 47 to 64 to the consent agenda, and to vote on those things, and then the full agenda would then move to the full board meeting on next week.
You're saying if some items got pulled, they go to the full board?
If you want to pull some items,
but otherwise
everything.
Otherwise, we can move the consent, we'll be okay.
Remove the consent and the non-consent. But if you want to pull some items, then you just need to tell me what.
I didn't have any items to pull.
And
that's a fine idea. Do you need
So I'd like a motion
do you want to public input first?
Let's see. How many public input cards do we have? For
all
that.
All there.
Okay. Okay. Well, we'll take 1 minute on each item in the public comment item. So I'll call Danes and please line up and be ready to come forth. Because time is of the essence. I apologize for this. This is not normally how I would want to run the committee meeting, but we've had a number of backups today. And also, I'd like for everyone to get home safely who's here from the public. And we'd also be able to hear these items at the board next week, hopefully when it's not raining. We'll start with John. Before we take the motion, I'd like to start with John Walsh on item number 47, followed by Gerald Wright on item number 48, John Walsh on number 48, and then there's John Walsh again on number 57 and John Walsh again on 59. So we'll start there.
First, I'd like to say 1,000 more buses, 1,000 less police. Now, that's a very popular phrase among revolutionaries who hang out in church basements, but I don't ever hear it up here. Speaking right to the police. Although the sheriff, I'm really after the LAPD, not the sheriffs. 1,000 more, buses, $250 million deficit, 1,000 more buses, 1,000 more police. You'll hear that from nobody else in here because I'm a revolutionary. Not just in church basements. But I have one question to ask you. Now, I almost never ask questions. What is your ridership weekday boardings for the first full month of December on the east sideline? It's very, very poor.
Gerald Wright? I think, Mr. Walsh, you can turn right around and come back on item number 48. There's no Mr. Wright.
Change my mind. 3,000 more buses, 1,600 less LAPD. On 48, and incidentally, this committee is the Rodney Dangerfield of committees. It gets absolutely no respect. HollywoodHighlands.org, 50,000 visitors a month. I have the analytics right here for anyone who wants to see it. HollywoodHighlands.org. I know that all the law enforcement people are on there every day. I'd like to just say the Metro Blue Line had another couple of deaths. I've been talking about this since 1989, the year before it opened, 88, 2 years before it opened. The Metro Blue Line, of course, we're for the improvements, but it is still the deadliest light rail in America. If you build it wrong, Neil Peterson, LACTC, but remember, we are the only organization, United Riders of Los Angeles. We are rail riders. And as we know, all the people on the subway are white. Everybody, 100% white. More like 5% white.
Mr. Walsh, I apologize. You'll have 2 more minutes for item number 57 and 59.
57, graffiti abatement. I want to say what a wonderful job the $9 an hour security guards, and I'm not being sarcastic, at the W Hotel are doing now, since the W Hotel is opening next week. This was your transit-oriented development. The graffiti has disappeared there. As far as 59 is concerned, after everything is quiet. Now, I try to bring this to the inspector general, but we have no inspector general. We have an acting unpaid inspector general. You are giving Anseldo Brader. This is a deal through Antonio. The FBI is looking into it. Ooh, sorry. I can't criticize anyone who's non-white. I'll take that back. If you're white, non-white, you're okay. You're not a crook. Anseldo Brader gets in here a $12,305,978 cost overrun. And now as far as Karen Gorman is concerned, she's an acting inspector, she's paid nothing, and she was appointed by Nunez. And I'm telling you, I don't need the full amount of time. I'm not up here. HollywoodHighlands.org, the inspector general treats the mayor of this city like Monica Lewinsky treated the president of the United States, Clinton.
Thank you, Mr. Walsh. Moody Mall Lim, item number 60. Mr. Moody, Lim. And followed by Zion Helfuta, Andy Lujan, and I'll make a stab at the other name and spell it when I get there.
Hi, my name is Mori Moal. I'm Vice President of Hollywood Car Carrier, current FSP contract. I want to tell you about the procurement personnel on item number 60. These personnel have put out a flawed IFB again. They canceled previous solicitations in the past for ambiguities. The current solicitation is flawed and full of ambiguities. These personnel put up IFB that gives specific rules and has specific documentation to be included in the bid package. They have been sending out clarification letters after the bid was due, allowing bidders to correct, alter their bid packages after the bid due date. It is my understanding that an IFB is a sealed bid package where no document can be added or deleted from. However, these current procurement personnel have allowed this to happen over and over again, allowing non-qualified bidders to become qualified. Is this a common practice? I don't think so. During the public bid opening, the fourth package was being opened and it was not sealed. Mr. Sparkle, the administrator, placed the unsealed envelope on the floor next to him and continued to open all the additional envelopes. When he was done, he excused himself for the room, got on his cell phone, came back in the room. Then Mr. Origel and Mr. Ramirez came in the room, got Mr. Sparkle out of the room, into the hallway, came back in the room and read the bid package. Did Mr. Sparkle fill in the price bid list outside the hallway? Unlikely, but definitely puts a shadow of doubt on his action. Is this practice standard procedures? I think not. We, all the towing personnel who attended the bid opening, questioned this one bid, who, by the way, is being recommended by staff for award. Again, a shadow of doubt. Please prove me wrong, Mr. Sparkle, especially when you told everyone in the room that they may look at the packages without touching any of the documents, at the bidder price list only. How could one compare the bidder's price list to the rest of the package if you did not allow us to see any other document? Again, a shadow of doubt.
Hey, I'm going to ask you to wrap it up, please.
Okay, I'm going to take Zion Afuta's minute if possible. He stepped out to the restroom. This current staff made a recommendation to the board and 3 days later changed their recommendation. Why? When I questioned this, staff told they overlooked something. Therefore, they had to change their recommendation. What else did they overlook? Perhaps qualified drivers or companies? As they said, when we filled out the bid package, we allowed the instruction of the staff place the IFB. Why doesn't staff follow their own rules that apply to all the bidders? The recommendation for extension of a current service that staff is asking for is funding for 3 or so months overdue. FSP service is being handled for the month of January 10 by most current contractor without a contract, as their contract expires on 12/31/09. Staff was aware of this, the time was of essence, however decided to extend the contract without board approval. It is my understanding that contracts up to $100,000 can be given without the board. However, these current staff decided to take matters into their own hand, extend contract without your approval, mislead you, and hope this will go unnoticed. This current staff was made aware of this in September 2009 by me and other contractors at the pre-bid conference meeting. They could have come to the board and asked for more funding back in October, November, and December board meeting, but opted not to. Why? The month of January was about $300,000.
Thank you, Mr. Miller.
One last thing, if you don't mind.
You can submit your comments in writing.
Okay. I just want to let you know that the integrity of the program of the MTA is at stake. All I'm asking for, cancel the solicitation or re-review the solicitation by different staff. But thank you very much.
Thank you. Mr. Lujan?
My name is Andy Lujan, California Coach Towing. I'm in favor of going forward with this procurement. We're now on a year's delay. I think the equipment that everybody's running out there, being with the extra miles on it after being for a year, is coming to an end. So we really need to go forward. I've been doing this since 1993. I think in that time I've come across a lot of contract administrators in this program. They've always been very professional. I've had three beats at a time, sometimes two. I'm down to one. I've never complained. I think it's just a fair business practice that you run at the MTA. I'm glad to see it. Staff is great. Thank you.
Very much. Mr. Hovig, H-O-V-I-G, last name G-A-B-O-U-D-I-A-N. Okay. Mr. Gerald Wright.
Because it's a proof of consent.
Yes, item. I called your name previously. Okay. Yeah, this is item number 61.
Okay, let me make sure I got the right, because I also have a comment card for 48, so that's why. Mm-hmm. Okay, let me do the quick, fast version of this. For item number 48, it's I'd like to see this approved, but I also want to put emphasis on the need along the Blue Line, since it's approaching 20 years in age and in operation, to look at an audit of putting quad gates along stretches of the Blue Line that still currently do not have quad gates, and see the impacts of improving pedestrian safety as well as minimize delays and all the other negative connotations that's come from that. For item number 61, let me see, since I'm going to be representing the Governance Council on that, and now we just want to approve it because we feel it's an important service in the West Side sector, and to go through with that. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Wright. Mr. John Walsh, on item number 63, and I just think also I open comment, or just basic public comment, or open public comment. Oh, I'm sorry. Did you put in a speaker card?
Yes, I'm representing John's Towing. I was outside. I stepped outside a minute. You called my name?
No, someone already spoke on behalf of Mr. Malam and then Mr. Hafuta. So there was no other card.
John's Towing wasn't called out? Oh,
there is no card for Mr.
For Hold On Wheel Inc., John's Towing.
For no John Stoney, no.
I turned it in with security.
Let's have, I don't know, it's not here. Let's have Mr. Walsh come on item number 63 and open comment.
I don't need the full 2 minutes. I'm getting 50,000 visitors a month to my website. I have the analytics here from GoDaddy. I'll give it to anybody who wants it. And we only started in September. So a quarter of a million by the end of the month. A quarter of a million people listening to me. When you come up here and say you're crooked, that's like a Jew coming up and say, Mr. Knight, close those concentration camps. You're wasting your time. You go to the DA. If you have anything, you go to Dave Demersion, the DA who's in charge of crooked criminality. You certainly don't go to Karen Gorman. You're wasting your time up here. Take a look. They're waiting for the storm. Keep your 21 seconds.
Now I'll entertain a motion to move the...
I'll move the consent calendar and the remainder of the agenda, with item 60 being subject to the resolution of any protests.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Thank you very much, and thank you also for the patience of the board members for today's delay. I appreciate it. And thank you for the public's patience as well. And we'll hear reports at the next meeting on some of the items that we did not get reports on this time. So thank you very much. Meeting adjourned.